You are listening to Destination Church Belfast weekly podcast. You can find us at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Happy listening.
Magnificent, distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, raise up and restore the former desolations. They will renew the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. People will speak of you as the ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and you will boast of the riches. Instead of your former shame, you will have a double portion, and instead of humiliation, your people will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, in their land, they will possess double what they had forfeited, and everlasting joy will be theirs. What a set of verses. And in this house, I think we all understand that we're being established as a forest. For anybody else, the analogy just explodes out. It just gives you so much understanding as to where we are. And there's so much ground that we've covered. And for any of you who want to revisit any of the message series, it's all on our website. So the Lord's establishing a forest in this place that will provide shelter to those who journey through. And you and I are the trees in the forest. And this is where we've been planted. And we want to be faithful to what we've been called to do, to become and to remain where we've been planted. And last week we looked at the fruitful forest, saying the heart of it was basically that when we are healthy, we bear fruit. We don't become healthy so that we can bear fruit. It just happens, and you can't force it. We looked at Mary and Martha, and I commented that you and I all have a bit of Mary and a bit of Martha in us. And I offered to you that the soul's response is Martha's response. The soul wants to understand and have answers, which at times is legitimate. But there is one thing that is needed, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said to us, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So if we remain in this forest, if we just do the business and at times hard work of remaining, we're going to grow and mature. And when we do that, we bear fruit. And let me read this to you again from John 15. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." That's John 15:16. So we have been appointed to go and produce lasting fruit. That is what we have been placed to do. And he's going to complete the work that he started in you. And then we looked very briefly at fruit and seed, and that when you and I manifest and grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then those around us get to actually eat that fruit in, and that fruit has the seed to reproduce itself. And think about the circumstances where someone just comes along and shows you joy. It just kind of, doesn't it? It's infectious. It infects you and can start to birth within you if you're willing to go on that journey. Okay, so today, as we finish off the message series, we're looking at for the display of his splendor. So this is the conclusion. And this message series has been really helpful to understand who we are and also who we're not, that we're a forest and we're not a garden. And then also what we bring to the world and to the church at large. If we think we're a garden and we're actually a forest, then we're just going to be frustrated. It's going to cause us to have circumstances where we're thinking, what is actually going on here? And we should be doing this when actually in reality, God's called us to bring something else. So this message series, I believe, has come at a kairos time. Now, the word kairos means the appointed time in the purposes of God. Just like that movie that comes along and you think, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. Or the book that you're reading, or the song, or the poem. It's like the song of the season. Well, it is in effect a kairos song or a kairos thing that has an appointed time in the purposes of God. And we're about to move into a place to call our own, and we're beginning to understand what we bring. So we can't miss that God is bringing this just at the right time for us to step into our place, which we believe is going to have an effect on how we're viewed, on the activity of the Spirit, on how we probably relate to each other. I mean, how we do church in the mornings. Everything changes. And we're going to have a new set of wonderful things and likely a new set of problems to solve and difficulties and frustrations and all those things as well. Let's be real about it. But it's going to be good. So we're looking at the purpose of the forest this morning, and the verse in Isaiah 61:3 is the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So first thing, we have been planted by him. Do you concur? Or did you just choose it? Well, I just decided that I wanted to be here. For those of you who have remained for quite a long time, I would put to you that it's likely, very unlikely, that you have decided to plant yourselves here. That he has called you to be here. It is his idea and it's not ours, which is wonderfully affirming, actually, because when it's difficult, we can go, you told me to be here, therefore your grace is enough, and I'm trusting you for the ability to remain in this place. We don't have to muster this up. All we have to do is remain. We are here by revelation, and if you ask me, I could tell you the proper journey of revelation at different points. This is not by the ideas of men. This is his church, and therefore it's not ours. And that affects how we as a leadership lead as well, because it's not our church. It is his church. And knowing that means that he is in charge, and we believe that he knows what he is doing. So this message series has been a journey of discovery to understand what it is that he has planted. We are not a garden, we are a forest. And we have been planted by the Lord to show his splendor. Now, when I say splendor to you, what comes to your mind? Crowd participation moment. And hand gestures. Color and bigness and hand gestures and what else? What else comes to beauty? Yeah, anything else? Jewels. I see like an elegance as well. There's just a real radiant. That was your elegant hand gesture. If you all like to turn, Tishy's going to do her hand gesture again for you. So he has called us to be his glory, to beautify and to glorify him. And we are here to show him. God wants to shine through us, and God is shining and wants to shine through you. Now, we can sort of put that all, step into our Northern Irish culture and do the whole, oh, no, 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 not me. But actually, if you're doing that, then you're getting in the way of what he wants to do. He wants to show himself strong and beautiful and kind and all those joyous, wonderful things through you. And through us, and if this room was dark and we all had a tea light, we were obviously holding them very carefully for health and safety reasons, but in the dark, we then brought all of those tea lights in together, then actually the individual lights coming together brings a concentration of light that really is quite wonderful and beautiful. You think when you look at one single fairy light, that, I mean, it's just one single light, but them all string together, it's just, it just has an overall effect. So when we come together in maturity and bring our light together, then the corporate expression of that really is pretty stunning. That's what he wants to do through us. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I really noticed this morning. So, let your light shine so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, if I showed you something that I did, then Paul here is saying by the Spirit, that it's, if I did it in partnership with the Spirit, Paul is saying that that is going to glorify him. It's not going to glorify me. And what most of us in this culture struggle with is being glorified. Is that not right? We come going, well, I couldn't. Well, that would be, you know, how many times have we heard it wasn't me, it was the Spirit? And I'm thinking, I'm pretty confident that you were present in this. But when we let him shine through us, the promise that he makes us is that when we let our light shine, that they're going to see what we have done in his name and they're going to glorify him. So let that dispel the fears of, well, you know, this is about self-interest and self-aggrandizement, when you make yourself bigger than you actually are. This is not about us seeking our glory. This is about him seeking his. And we get to play our part and be ourselves as he does that through us. So we let our light shine before people. They see our good works and they glorify him. And the word for glorify in the Hebrew here, or in the Greek here, means valuing him for who he truly is. For example, giving and ascribing glory to God personally acknowledges God in his true character and in his essence. And he again is not saying that when we do that, then it glorifies us. Ephesians 2:8-10 says this, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that anyone can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life." So we have good works to do that have been assigned and appointed to us. You have good works to do. So God's going to be faithful to you when those good works are yours to do. We had a gentleman come to our house. I didn't even get to say to my wife, but we had a gentleman come to our house yesterday to look at our Wi-Fi. And when he was talking to me, it all of a sudden turned to lots of different things that he was struggling about, and he was interested about church. And in that moment, I knew this was about this conversation. Now, the wonderful thing is we have Wi-Fi that works now. But it wasn't about the Wi-Fi, because at the end of it all, he's interested in relationship. So it was about that good work. And I simply said, well, I said to him, do you know, he was just struggling with anxiety and things like that. And I said to him, do you know what I've discovered, and what I've discovered in the Bible is that God says that we've a lot more choice and power than we actually believe we'll have. And that was all that I said. And he just nodded, and he gave me a really lovely, you know, one of those, come on, go. You know, the handshakes that are like, yeah, just give me real manly, thank you. But that was what I was appointed to do in that moment, and you know it too. Sometimes we can go, I've got to get the dog to the groomers, and that's what the point of this is, and I've got to chase this guy out of the house, and there's a day to be had, but when the Spirit goes, it's actually, this is what you've been called to right here and right now. It requires us to hold our thoughts captive, all the souls about, all of the busyness, trust them for that outcome, because that's the stuff that can get really annoying, and go in that moment, this is what I'm called to do, because we have good works that we have been appointed to do. So will you own that for yourself? You've good works that God has predestined and created and crafted for you to do. And you're going to know what they are when you're about to do them or in the middle of doing them. The Spirit is really faithful to point out and go, this is one of those. So God knows exactly what he's doing. He's planned and planted you for such a time as this. He's prepared works for you to do that will cause you to shine, cause the light of God within you to be revealed, and that light will be seen and it will illuminate him. It's not going to illuminate you. And there's a joy to be had in letting your light shine, isn't there? But it's going to illuminate him. It's not going to illuminate you. In fact, when you really let him shine, people aren't really going to see you. Because we don't notice the light bulb, do we? We turn the light on for the light. Although you can get some pretty light bulbs. But actually, when it's about the light bulb, the light has to be really low. So you can see the filament and it looks beautiful because it's about the light bulb. But we carry a light that isn't about us. And when we know that we're loved by him, then actually, and we're all on this journey, but when we know that we're loved by him, we don't need to worry about us because he is going to be faithful to come after you with love faster than you can request it. So we just have to be about the business of shining. So we want to reveal these oaks of righteousness. So I want to ask you to really consider this and embrace this for yourself, that you and I are the oaks of righteousness in this forest that God has and is planting for the display of his splendor. And the Amplified says, these oaks are strong and magnificent, distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with God. Now you have a choice to go, that's for him or for her, but it's not for me. You need to hold that one captive and go, that actually is describing me. I am strong and magnificent, distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with my God. That is who you are. That's your identity. And when you start to believe that and live that, then it's present. Whereas if you go, that's for her or for him and not for me, what do you know? You just sort of, well, sure, it's just, I'm just a wee light bulb that doesn't need to shine. So the first analogy is we've all come to the forest with ivy, and you're the tree and not the ivy that wraps around it or seeks to grow up it. And most of us have believed that we're the ivy and not the tree because the ivy is all that we can see and all that most others can see as well. Though at times we and others have seen the bark of the trunk of the oak of righteousness peering through. And in this place, God uses the forester to destroy the ivy and to show you where it is so that you can poison it and kill it. And when you see it come up, you want to cut it off, uproot it and destroy it so that it doesn't obscure and define you any longer. And you find out what your ivy is. What's your particular brand of that horrible, horrible weed that grows up? Some people like it. I'm not a fan. Analogy two, we're designed to be like light bulbs, but the dust and dirt of light blocks and dims the light that we have within. And our remaining in this place cleans the dirt off and causes the light we have within to be revealed. So God wipes, cleans, blows, and washes us so that the casing that has been designed to house the light doesn't obstruct its shining. We just need to be there and in the place. And when the electricity of the Spirit flows through us, now he's present in us all the time. But when he ramps up his current, you know, Dennis would say, play me long, play me loud. We all know those moments when he is shining through us. When that happens, then there's just not the same stuff to obscure that light as it shines through. And that's why we are called to remain. Imagine just the cloth. Just this cloth, just gently, and at times just rubbing hard, and other times maybe gets a bit of a Brillo pad out in there, the bits that we don't like, but my goodness, we're lighter and brighter for it. Third analogy, the restoration of an oil painting. Have you ever watched restorers work on an oil painting? And they normally have a cotton bud, and I'm thinking, geez, that's going to be there for months. And they are. Because they take it just section by section at a time, because I think it's the varnish that yellows over time, and then also it attracts the dirt and the dust and all of that. But oil paint doesn't actually diminish, it still keeps its vibrancy. So as they take off that varnish, then the original painting starts to, its original saturated colors and pigment and vibrancy shines right through. So sometimes we're in the journey of a meticulous restoration, and we're expecting God to just come out and power hose us. We've all had those moments too. And it's like, ah, and then you're clean. And then there's the other times where it's just this gentle, it just seems like he, you know, he's dipping it in the solution and he's just rubbing away and eking away the varnish to reveal the true colors underneath. I'll give you a fourth analogy, the stained glass window. When the light shines through, we can see the picture and the story that God wants to tell, and that is you and I. So hopefully one of those analogies work for you, but we're in the business of remaining so that he can shine through us, and we get to shine. We get to be who we're created to be. 2 Corinthians 3:16 to 18. This would be one of the key verses of our house. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So I've used the suntan analogy before, but if I was to go in the sunbeds wearing this, depending on how strong they are, I'm not going to get much of a tan. To get a tan, I've got to go in with as few clothes as I have on. I'm sorry for giving you that mental image right now. But this whole business of getting in front of God is us unveiling ourselves. unveiling where we're at, where we're struggling, the joys that we have, the things that we don't understand, the situations that have come our way and have nearly derailed us. And as we get into his presence, then we are able to lift the veil, and he sees us for who we are anyway. But there is a point that he will not cross, and that is the point of your choice and your free will. So as we get to know what he's about, we get to peel back the layers and let him affect us. And we move from glory to glory to glory. And remember, that glory doesn't draw people to us. It draws people to him. And if people are drawn to you, I remember Dennis saying this one time. He said this guy was staring at him in an airport. Just kept looking at him, just sort of fixated. And Dennis went over in Dennis's own inimitable way and said, "Do you like that?" And the person was like, "What do you mean?" He said, "It's the Spirit of God. That's what you see. Would you like to know him better?" Quite a ballsy move. You'd need to know it's the Spirit, but there are times when children will stare at you and go, I mean, they don't really care. They're just staring at you because they see something about you. There's people that are new to companies that'll approach you because you carry a peace and a safety about you. There are things that people are drawn to. They're not drawn to us. They're drawn to him within us. And we can say, there is a John 5:19 in that moment. You're doing what the Father, you see the Father doing, and you can be as blunt and as straight up as that. But at times when we get to know people, we can say, I think that what you maybe experience when you're around me is the fact that I love God and God lives in me. And you can have that too. That's why people are drawn. They're not drawn to us. They're drawn to him. So let him be revealed in you and continue to let him be revealed in you. And this whole business of remaining. Now, there's a remaining and there's a staying put, but there's also a deeper part to remaining. And the deeper part to remaining is that we let go of FOMO, you know, that fear of missing out, where you're here, but actually you're thinking, well, it could be somewhere else. There could be somewhere else more exciting. And that is this learning to live in the present moment where we've been called to be. We're actually going to remain here and be present here, actually mentally present here, emotionally present here, physically present here. When we're relating to others, we're not thinking about being somewhere else. We are fully present here. And that's a journey. The first one is to physically remain. The second one is to be present in all you are in this place. And as you do that, you're going to be rewarded for it. Not entertaining that the grass is greener somewhere else, or it'd be nicer to talk to somebody else. Being increasingly and wholly present where we've been planted. And as we remain turning to the Lord, especially in this place that we've been called to be a part of, we will find greater transformation with ever-increasing glory that comes from the Lord, and it's for the display of his splendor. Can I get the worship collective up? So I want to just comment on the path through the forest, because I think as we move into these new units, we may experience this increasingly. We've reached a significant point in the planting and maturing of this forest, which you all know. Soon we'll be able to inhabit the place that we're going to call home, which will be an adjustment, which I've already commented on. So when you leave a season behind, you understand the previous season more, don't you? So you come out of your summer and you maybe realize it was really relaxing or it wasn't. Or you come out of a time that was intensely difficult and start crying because you realize how difficult it actually was and you've just been focused about getting through. And as we leave this long season that we've been in as a church, we'll understand this greater and better as to what he was doing, but also we're going to enter into a new one. And as we continue to be more and more present and remaining, partnering with him, removing the ivy, shining more and more, as we do the work of discipleship, the forest is going to possess that greater light. Imagine that analogy of the tea lights coming together. There's going to be that greater light that will be attractive to others. There's going to be a pathway through this forest that will draw many. Many will walk through this forest, but what I want to say is don't be discouraged when they don't remain. There'll be many that will come and walk through, enjoy the presence of the forest, the canopy of the kingdom, the smells and the sounds and the peace that's present. But they're not going to remain, and they're designed to not remain. There's going to be a pathway through that we're there to live and serve others as they walk through. The path is going to draw many. Path through the forest that exists for those who want to enjoy the Lord's planting for the display of his splendor. So that's what I've got this morning. The call is to come forwards, and I'm going to give you some questions to help you to respond. But the call is to recognize that we're called to display his splendor. That individually we've a call to let his light shine through us. So I want to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to make a response. So the first question is, do you need to embrace that you've been planted here for a purpose? And then secondly, maybe this is a bigger one, do you need to embrace that you are actually an oak of righteousness? And then finally, do you need to deepen your journey of discipleship to remove more of the ivy seeking to cover your identity as an oak of righteousness? If you can answer any of those questions, even if you can't, I'd encourage you to respond. Come and join me now at the front. We're going to worship for a time, and then I'm going to lead us as we respond. So come and join me now.
You have been listening to Destination Church Belfast Weekly Podcast. Remember to check us out at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk and have a great week.